get up. Life was ticking back down. One day, Papa called me to his dying bed. Put his hands on my shoulder, then in tears he said, Patches, I'm depending on your son to pull the family through. My son, it's all left up to you.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning. Text line, if you want to be in touch with the program, all you got to do is hit us up there, 251-343-0106, and we'll do our best to respond to whatever it is that is on your mind. So to come on the program about an hour from now, we'll hear from Dale Jackson from WVNN, and he also writes for Yellowhammer News. And then in the 11 o'clock, our official Democrat response, Parker Griffith. And I am eager to hear his response to the party's vice chairman, Tabitha Eisner, and the idea that they need to, Democrats need to vote Republican primaries. Well, we'll talk to him later on in the show. Joining us now, it's her turn in the rotation. We're always very appreciative of her time. My state representative, State Representative Jennifer Fidler is with us. Representative, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good, Jeff. How are you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for coming on. We always appreciate the time. Things seem a little slow. I mean, there's always the chatter about the usual hot buttons, but Southern Legislative Conference underway. What did we get from that?
Yeah, I do want to talk about that some, but before we do, I want to tell people and ask people to just pray for the Delaney and the Hand families, both well-loved and well-known families in our area. We've had some tragedies down here on the water where each family lost a family member. And just want to say, please, y'all pray for them, that they're going to be going through a hard time in these next weeks and months as they get to a new norm, and also the Angie Halls family, which is Angie was a dear friend to the Republican Party. But we went to the Southern Legislative Conference in this past week. I took a few days to drive up, a few days drive back, and some personal time. But I actually moderated a session while I was up there, and it was the session. Was how to help our farmers, and if there's any other way besides the federal government help, there are things that we can do. There was a lot of things that came out of, great things, I think, that came out of that talk, and perhaps some things that we might be able to do for the state. But the other interesting topics that we went over, one was data centers, and we just had what are they? Why do people not like them? What's the most important things that we can do to kind of let people know what they are? What don't they like about them? And the general, I think the biggest consensus was that I heard, and it made the most sense to me, was that we need to understand them, like plan for them. Do we want them, kind of understand as a community, is this something we want or is this something we don't want? Because there's going to be parts of our county or parts of our state that's going to want them, and there's going to be parts of our state that doesn't. So what if you don't want them? What does that mean? Why don't you want them? Do you not want to look at them? Do you not want to have the water going, use up the water resources because they take a lot of water? But those types of things need to be planned out, and we need to be talking about it and kind of know where our communities are. And I've even considered hosting sort of like informative session for the general public, just so I can get some feedback as to where I feel like I know where my district is, but so that we can get educated though as a county and understand what these data centers are and what they mean and how big they can be. And just because if you decide what you want and what you don't want in the beginning, you can actually write local legislation to attract them or not. So that was a really interesting, it's probably to me one of the better things that I got out of the conference. To understand that Virginia is doing it well. So if anybody wants to do some research on Virginia, they kind of the role model up there. They've got like 12% of everything that's comes through the cloud is pretty much coming through that data center up there. And I'm talking about like nationwide. So they're pretty knowledgeable about it. We also, this is an opportunity for the southern states to come together. It's about 16 southern states that are members of the Southern Legislative Conference. That's a good way for everybody to kind of come together and understand like agricultural rural issues across the nation or across the South. That to committee meetings and kind of brought some things to the forefront. But it was just a great conference.
Let's talk about data centers. What is the, you mentioned the water. What are the, like, I guess, key tenets of opposition?
People are worried about how much water they use. People are wondering about, like, electricity, transmission lines. Can we get the transmission lines to them? They're going to have to, they use a lot of electricity. But you can write these laws to say that you can recycle 80% of the water. You don't have to use 100% of the water. We can require them to come in and recycle that. We don't have to look at them. You know, some parts of this county or some parts of this state are going to want that revenue coming in. It can really turn some things around. One of the things that we had talked about, you know, in the forest pulp industry, you know, that was one thing we talked about last time I was on, that I was on the subcommittee or the committee to look at how we, the real problem with our pulp disappearing, these, our mills are disappearing in our neighboring states, how important that pulp mill industry is to the forestry industry. Is there a way to use that pulp mill for energy source? Does, you know, if the data centers need that much energy, is there a way we can convert some of these and actually use that pulp mill in another way? You know, those are things I don't know. Somebody a little bit smarter than me can answer those questions. But, you know, we need to be talking about them because we've got a pulp mill. The industry is decreasing. It's a worry. It's a concern. It's a huge concern in the forestry industry. And then here we've got these data centers coming on. Where are they best located? Do we want to use these, put these data centers in industrial sites? Do we want to take up existing brownfields? We can decide how we want it. We can decide where they need to go, where are the best places, you know, but we just have to have a plan for that. And so they just talked about how important that was, so we can understand that.
Well, tell me, like, and you mentioned this, and you don't hear this a whole lot, proponents, people who want these data centers, and you talk about the revenue, and I don't know, I mean, do they generate a lot of revenue? Are there places actively seeking this type of, you know, business in their community or their neighborhood?
Okay, let's talk about Virginia. The state of Virginia gathered $900 million this year alone from data centers. Now, I just got this information because I know some of our folks in the state are going, what? Yes, they are going to collect $1.2 billion this next year. They just passed a consumption tax. And it has to do with how much is actually being brought to the state of Virginia through their data centers. $1.2 billion. That's about how much we felt like the gambling legislation would bring us if we want to go back to 4 years ago. But right now, they're bringing in about $900 million. Now, they have about 7,000 acres of their land and data centers. That's 5,000 megawatts that they're doing. And it's 13% of the global information is stored in Virginia. So I'm not sure we could ever, you know, that's a whole lot of revenue, but, and we might not want to ever get that or get there. But what could we do? Where could we do it if we wanted to do it? Are there brownfields out there that we could actually turn around and we could try to target some areas that we want to, you know, really look at and how much, you know, bring in some revenues to some of these areas that are, that need it. But, you know, instead of saying, no, we want a moratorium, maybe we should say if we have one, if, you know, our area wants one, these are things that we want. We have to have before they come here, or we want them here.
Was that like something from a legislative standpoint, or let's just say it's a local ordinance or whatever, that, okay, you want to come here, but you got to be a net contributor to the community. Maybe you tax them, or you charge something, or you get something out of it, which seemed to be a good trade-off, a good starting place. Like, you got to build a school, or I don't know, whatever you could get out of these companies, rather than maybe saying, hey, come one, come all.
Well, they called it a consumption tax in Virginia. I mean, it's something they just added on this past year. So we could go back in and read their bill in the state of Virginia and just see how much they were able to add to the revenue stream. They needed the revenue stream. They want to make sure they pay their teachers more up there. And that was, or, you know, they have this additional revenue they feel like they need. And this is one way to be able to do it. But I do think in this state, there are places that are that wouldn't mind them if they know more about them, if they're more educated about them. And yes, we do have to have the local laws and the local legislation in place and the local, because of course the state is the way that a lot of our local, you know, we give them authority of what they can and cannot do. So it does need to be decided locally, and we do need to be talking about it. It's huge.
Well, the other thing, and water, you know, like a lot of that could be recycled, and that could be that seems like that's a problem that could be rectified, but the power and the power consumption, and you look at the state. I mean, we already have high electricity, you know, utility rates in Alabama. But what I don't think the state is really doing what it can to generate electricity necessarily. And the reason I say that is, I mean, just a lot. I mean, whenever they try to bring an old nuclear power plant online or do something like that, it's just there's pushback, obviously, from environmentalist types, but also it seems like maybe the power company or people were telling, you know, hey, there's just not the demand for this. But there seems like we could generate more power for the grid if we wanted to.
I mean, I've toured the nuclear plant. I've toured the gas. I've toured several of these electrical plants. And, I mean, I think they're doing a pretty doggone good job, and they're keeping up with what we need. We need to just make sure they're allowed to continue, and we don't have any burdensome, regulations, I guess. But in our area, we got, you know, our most precious resource is our water here. So that has to come number one. I mean, that feeds revenue wise the rest of the state in so many ways economically. Is the first thing I think about, how much revenue we're actually pumping into for the rest of the state to actually, you know, have great schools and pay our teachers and all the things. And our water resources are number one thing, but we don't need to reduce the, you know, we don't need to have so many regulations to where our power can't be generated.
Well, the other, and we're running a little on time here, but the other thing you hear, and I brought this up on the show a bunch of times, they're worried about what the data is going toward, that you don't know what they're storing. And there's also this just kind of fear that it's an encroachment on privacy, that the data is being used to surveil, and, you know, that maybe you don't need transparency in particular based on every aspect of it, but at least, like, okay, this is going to Google, or this is going to Amazon, or this is going to whatever. Like, I think that would that would settle a lot of people or put a lot of people's fears at ease. And is there any way to get to that or achieve that?
You know, I don't know. You know, our representative in the House that's just incredibly smart about this is Representative Mike Shaw. And, you know, privacy, I agree. I mean, we should make sure I totally agree with some of that because you feel like we don't have any anymore. Your phone picks up what you're saying and, you know, then it's repeating what you just said. And there may be a context of what you just said. It might not have been exactly what you just said. So, that's a big concern.
Yeah, yeah. That's something you hear, you know, whenever this is brought up. It's not, you know, obviously the environmental and not in my backyard crowd, but, well, I'm just ideologically opposed to data centers because they're going to be used to track me. And, I don't think we need any more government intrusion in our lives.
Well, it's this ChatGPT is pretty amazing. And the more you talk to people, the more they're using it. And, you know, all that information is gathered. It's a concern. I don't know if governments actually how much they're using it, but it's definitely going in the cloud and it's up there.
Representative, we got to get out of here, but thank you for your time. And we'll talk to you in a few weeks.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. Y'all have a great day.
You too. State Representative Jennifer Fidler there. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Probably never made a